Welcome, Creepaholics crew, to a bone-chilling episode that unveils the heart-wrenching story of the death of Candace Newmaker. Grab your flashlights and join me, Shanice, as we untangle the harrowing tale of this deeply distressing incident that sent shockwaves across the nation. Our journey takes us to the year 2000, where on April 18th, a young girl named Candace Newmaker met a tragic fate. During a controversial therapy session known as rebirthing, the details of her demise are as disturbing as they are heart-wrenching. Candace Newmaker's tragic and unfolding during a therapeutic intervention conducted by Kennell Watkins and Julie Ponder, the rebirthing session intended to treat attachment disorders took a horrifying turn. Candace, wrapped in an flannel shirt to symbolize a womb, endured an immense pressure and suffocation leading to her untimely death. In the aftermath of this shocking incident, the investigation into Candace's death underwent a significant transformation, involving into a comprehensive scrutiny of the controversial therapy method employed during the ill-fated rebirthing session. The subsequent legal proceedings sought not only justice for Candace, but also aimed to hold accountable all the individuals involved in the implementation and oversight of this deeply controversial therapeutic practice. The courtroom became a focal point for dissecting the events leading up to Candace's tragic end, meticulously examining the decisions, actions, and responsibilities of the therapists engaged in the rebirthing session. The legal proceedings unfolded as an exploration of the ethical implications surrounding unconventional therapeutic interventions, prompting a broader conversation about the regulations and oversight of such practices within the mental health landscape. As the trial progressed, it divulged into the specifics of the rebirthing techniques, shedding light onto its origins and underpinnings and the potential risks associated with its application. The courtroom became a forum of experts, witnesses, and legal professionals to engage in a robust dialogue about the boundaries of therapeutic practices and the duty of care owed to vulnerable individuals. The legal proceedings carried implications beyond the specifics of the case, contributing to a broader awareness of the potential dangers posed by certain unconventional therapeutic methods. The legacy of Candace's case extended beyond the pursuit of justice, serving a catalyst of increased scrutiny, regulation, and ethical reflection within the mental health field. The legal progress became a pivotal moment in the ongoing disclosure and surroundings that balance between therapeutic innovation and the paramount importance of patient safety. During the trial, the focus intensified on key figures involved in Candace's therapy, including Kennell Watkins and Julie Ponder, as their roles and decisions undercame scrutiny. The court dived into their examinations of the events that unfolded leading to Candace's tragic death, meticulously reviewing the therapeutic practices employed during the sessions. This included an in-depth analysis of the decisions that were made by Watkins, Ponder, and the other therapists, aiming to uncover the details surrounding the circumstances contributed to the heart-wrenching outcome. The proceedings sought to provide a comprehensive understanding of the factors at play and shed light to any negligence or malpractice that may have played a role in the devastating loss of Candace's life. Embarking on a detailed exploration of the death of Candace Newmaker, our journey unveils a comprehensive timeline that extends into the legal proceedings aimed at securing justice for that little girl. The courtroom transformed into a pivotal stage, providing a platform for a profound reckoning with the controversial therapy methods employed and the individuals held accountable for Candace's untimely demise. The unfolding narrative within the legal arena sought not only to establish a chronological study of the events leading to the tragic incident, but also to address the broader implications of the therapeutic practices and the responsibility borne to those involved. This saga became a critical chapter in understanding and evaluating the complexities surrounding Candace's fate, as the legal system grappled with the nuisance of accountability and justice in the aftermath of her heartbreaking story. During the legal proceedings tied to the death of Candace Newmaker, the courtroom began a battleground where the controversial therapy methods were dissected. Attorneys, expert witnesses, and the courts meticulously examined the events leading to Candace's tragic death. The practices and decisions that played a role in unfolding the tragedy. The prosecution aimed to establish a comprehensive case against Kanell Watkins, Julie Ponder, and other therapists involved in the fateful therapy session. Witnesses, testimonies, expert opinions, and evidence were presented to shed light on the nature of the therapy, its potential risks, and the responsibilities of the practitioners. The defense, on the other hand, sought to contextualize the therapeutic approach, arguing its merits and attempting to navigate the fine line between unconventional methods and negligence. Legal arguments revolved around whether the therapist should be held criminally responsible for Candace's death, or if the tragedy was an unforeseeable consequence of an unconventional therapeutic technique. The trial unfolded as a highly emotional and legal complexity proceeding, grappling with the intersection of therapeutic practices, child welfare, and criminal liability. The courtroom dynamics not only scrutinized the actions of the therapists involved, but also prompted broader discussions about the ethical boundaries of certain therapeutic interventions. In the end, the legal proceedings surrounding Candace Newmaker's death became a critical moment for reevaluating therapeutic approaches, sparking debates against the responsibility of the practitioners and ensuring the well-being and safety of vulnerable individuals undergoing such treatments. The court's decision would echo beyond the specifics of this case, influencing for future decisions about the ethics and the legality of unconventional therapeutic methods. In a landmark decision, the legal verdict following the trial emerged as a watershed moment in the persistent dialogue surrounding the ethics and safety for specific therapeutic practices. The deeply pigmented circumstances of Candace Newmaker's tragic passing acted as a catalyst for intensified scrutiny and regulatory measurements within the mental health field. The courtroom proceedings deep dived into the intricacies of therapeutic methodologies, dissecting the practices employed in Candace's case. The legal scrutiny prompted a broader controversial conversation about the responsibilities of mental health professionals, leading to increased awareness of potential risk associated with certain therapeutic interventions. The aftermath of the trial saw an upswinging in efforts to reassess and tighten regulations governing unconventional therapeutic practices. Stakeholders within the mental health community engaged in discussions about ethical boundaries, patient safety, and the need for vigilant oversight. The sorrowful evidence surrounding Candace Newmaker's death became a catalyst for positive change, prompting the mental health field to reevaluate its practices and prioritize the well-being of vulnerable individuals. The pivotal verdict not only sought justice for Candace, but also reverberated as a clarification call for the mental health community to uphold the highest standards of care, fostering an environment where the safety and welfare of individuals undergoing therapy take precedence. The legacy of this legal outcome would leave an indelible mark on the ongoing evolution of the ethical standards and safety protocols in the realm of mental health practices. Here's some more details on this case. The victims of attached therapy, Candace Newmaker from Durham, North Carolina, tragically lost her life on April 18, 2000, at the tender age of 10 in Evergreen, Colorado. Important notice, the account is based on press reports, personal reviews, trial transcripts, and public records. Refer to the Webology for extensive news coverage of this case. In Colorado, two attachment therapists faced a jury trial for reckless child abuse resulting in Candace Newmaker's death. During a rebirthing session, although they are appealing, they have begun serving historical 16 years in a Colorado state prison. Kennell Watkins, a pioneer in treating attachment disorder, and Julie Ponder, a marriage and a family therapist of California, were convicted after a grueling three-week trial. Two assistants, therapy parents, Brita St. Clair and Jack McDaniel, initially faced identical charges. Still, after a plea bargain, they pleaded guilty to lesser felonies for neglect, child abuse, receiving 10 years probation and 1,000 hours of community service. Jean Elizabeth Newmaker, Candace's adoptive mother, faced a charge of negligent child abuse carrying a possible 4 to 16 years of jail time. Though a plea bargain, she secured a minimum sentence of 4 years, deferred for 4 years, effectively serving as probation. As the term ends, her official record would be clarified of this charge. Would be cleared of her charge, sorry. Kennell Watkins faced additional convictions on a second felony, criminal impersonation, and two misdemeanors, obtaining a signature by deception and unlawful practices of psychology therapy. The sentence for these lesser counts ran concurrently and have been served. After a three-week trial where jurors twice viewed a 70-minute videotape of the rebirthing therapy session on April 18, 2000, Watkins, 54, and Ponder, 40, were found guilty of reckless child abuse resulting in death. They sat motionless during the verdict, but broke down in tears when led in handcuffs, according to the judge, Jane Tidball. Candace's grandmother, Mary Davis, who attended the latter part of the trial with her husband, expressed no pity for the therapist, stating they weren't crying for Candace, but for themselves. Kennell Jane Watkins, an early follower of attachment therapy, gained nationwide prominence and reputation in attachment therapy circles. She might have changed her surname to Cooley after finishing her sentence in 2017, and is already referred to as CJ Cooley in one attachment therapy book. The convictions came almost a year after a video recording of the four therapists causing Candace's death. They required her to assume a fetal position on the floor, wrapped her in a flannel sheet, piled over a dozen thick pillows, and convectedly pushed against the 75-pound girl with a combined weight of 673 pounds. At one point, the adults could be heard grunting with effort. Candace, in a voice filled with panic, repeatedly screamed that she couldn't breathe, move, or find a way out. Her struggle with intensity, kicking a 31-inch tear in the sheet with her stocking feet. Eventually, her protests weakened and only labored and irregular breathing could be heard. 15 minutes into the session, Candace went completely quiet. The therapist taunted her as a quieter and sat on top of her for another 20 minutes. They called her a quitter, sorry. Anyways, they sat on her for another 20 minutes before unwrapping the sheet. Candace was found blue and lifeless with paramedics coaxing a heartbeat, but the pupils fixed and dilated. She was pronounced dead the next morning from cerebral edema. But wait, creepaholic screw, our exploration does not end here. Join us next time as we peel back the layers for darkness to expose the hidden truths, lies, and crimes that continue to lurk in the shadows. And I just want to apologize for my mispronunciations. I just got my front teeth fixed and I'm just trying to learn how to talk again. So again, I apologize. I hope you guys kind of find it funny, but yeah, it's kind of fun for me right now. Anyways, once again, that's all I have for you. Keep those flashlights ready, stay on the edge of your seats, and bid a farewell to this dark chapter. Join us in the next episode as we uncover more chilling tales. Until next time, keep creeping it real, Creepaholics crew.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.